In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, brothers and sisters, we hear the Lord answering a question with much more than just an answer to the question. He does this all the time. His parables are like this. Many other things he said. And in fact, the way he deals with us is this way. We may ask a question, whether it be actually voiced in our minds or just in our hearts. And the Lord answers. But the Lord does not answer in a simple way. He answers in a very profound way. Now, it's very easy to understand who is the neighbor of this one who fell among the thieves. You don't have to tell a long story to say, who is your neighbor? Your neighbor is everyone. And we understand this, and even this lawyer understood this, although his pride and arrogance kept him from accepting it fully. But in order to really understand who our neighbor is, our Lord told a story that if you enter into the deep meaning of this story, you'll not only understand who your neighbor is, you'll also understand who your father is. And you'll understand what God's purpose was in becoming incarnate and how he helps us. By no means is our Lord's answer to this lawyer a simple one. Now, the Lord answers this lawyer who is trying to justify himself about who his neighbor might be, because he's a man of some standing. He's not of the lower crust, right? He's of, the Jewish nobility, right? People honor him. People give him the first seats in dinners, and people ask him for answers. And so he's a smart fellow. And so, when he asks who his neighbor is, the Lord sees how deeply he misunderstands the commandments. And in fact, we deeply misunderstand them too. So let's listen carefully to our Lord's answer. If you really understand who your neighbor is, you will first understand what God has done for you, especially the God-man Jesus Christ by becoming incarnate. And when that permeates your soul, the knowledge of what he's done to you and how you've come from so far away, being an alien and a stranger, and now being in the bosom of the Father, this will help you to have the mind of Christ. And if you have the mind of Christ, then you will understand, as Christ understands, who our neighbor is. So he says a certain man goes down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Jerusalem is a place of blessedness. Scripture always speaks of it as a place of salvation. It's used as a metaphor for salvation, for heaven. Jericho is deep in the valley and is very hot. And he's going the wrong direction, the man is. He's going away from blessedness, like all of us. This certain man, by the way, is not just a person in a story. This certain man is you and I. And he fell among thieves. And the thieves are the demons. And they stripped him of his raiment. Raiment in Scripture is often used to denote blessedness, to denote virtue. Think about the wedding garment. And we talk about he was baptized into Christ, hath put on Christ, as if he's putting him on like raiment. And they stripped him of his raiment, of his virtue, and they wounded him. And they departed, and they left him half dead. The demons can't kill. The demons can wound, but they cannot mortally wound, because the Lord won't allow them to. But this man is sick. is dying. Now, it's really referring to us. Now, we're not lame by any side of the road, but we do have wounds. We're walking wounded with our sins. So by chance, a certain priest comes by. And he passes by on the other side. And likewise with a Levite. The law and the prophets cannot save a man. Now, there's two meanings to these people passing by. It's unconscionable that they didn't try to help someone who is dying. Probably their rationale was, I'm an important person. I can't get my hands dirty with this kind of thing. And if the person's dead or if the person dies while under my care, then I have to go all through these ritual washings and everything else, and it's such a bother. And I've got important business to do, so I'll just avoid this unpleasant occurrence. And of course, that's unconscionable. When we see someone in pain, someone in need, we should indeed help. In fact, even in secular society, we have something called a Good Samaritan law, where if you are capable of rendering help to someone who is in imminent danger of losing their life, and you refuse to, you can actually be prosecuted. So they pass by, but they pass by not just because they're men without a conscience, but also because the Lord is trying to show the law and the prophets don't save a man. Only God saves. The law and the prophets speak of what is right, speak of what is blessed, speak of the truth. The God-man helps us to live the truth. Without him, the law and the prophets are unreachable goals for us. So the Samaritan comes. And in the original languages, it's much more clear. He came, and he came directly to the man. It wasn't by chance that he met him. The Samaritan is our Lord Jesus Christ, who takes great pleasure in referring to himself as a Samaritan, hated by the Jews. He must have really got their goat when he referred to a Samaritan being the hero of the story. So he came to where he was, and he had compassion on him. And he bound up his wounds. Isn't that what the Lord does with us? He binds up our wounds. He pours oil and wine into them. Oil is the soothing teachings of Christ, where he says, I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. I no longer call you servants, but now friends. And also the Spirit of God that puts into our hearts the ability to cry, Abba, Father. All of those things are the oil where God consoles us, encourages us. I think the lives of the saints are like the oil too. Where we see men and women who became something great by God's grace. And if they could do it, then maybe we could too. It's encouragement. But also, wine is necessary. Wine is an astringent. Wine is an antiseptic. And when you pour wine into a wound, it hurts. But it cleans it very well, actually. The Lord pours both things into our wounds. Soothing teachings, but sometimes he needs to tell us things that we don't want to hear or that are painful to us so that we can change. And he binds up our wounds and he makes us able to heal. Now this Samaritan then put the man on his own beast, and the beast is our Lord Jesus Christ himself. Is his incarnation. He took our human nature upon himself. And he made our human nature able to live, able to be changed, able to be able to be healed. And he brings him to the inn. This is the part which is misunderstood by so many people who would like to call themselves Christians. The inn is the church. The Lord brought him to the inn to take care of him. And then he departed. And indeed our Lord did depart. He went up into the sky, into the heavens, 40 days after his resurrection. And he's entrusted the care of his people to the church. But he says to the innkeeper, that is, the bishops, the priests, the deacons, and all of the people of the church, take care of him. And when I come back on the morrow, and I will be coming back, I will repay you. This is when the Lord comes at his last, in the last judgment, second coming of Christ, when all things will be made known, and recompense will be made for everything, both for the good and for the bad. Now, then the Lord asks a simple question, which of these is the neighbor? And of course, the Samaritan was the neighbor. But brothers and sisters, you have neighbors all around you, and you probably don't always recognize them as such, because you have not completely entered into the knowledge of what God has done for you. I think I do it myself. Perhaps some of you do it as well. To understand who your neighbor is, you have to understand what God has done for you. Then you understand who your father is and who your brother is. And then you treat your brother as Christ treated his brethren. The story is not just a simple admonition to be charitable. We're charitable because of what God has done for us. It should implant in us a desire to help others, to see others as Christ saw them. Not to see their sins first, but to see their need and their potential, and to see that they're precious. For God, they're precious. Truly is amazing what the Lord has done for us. We indeed are the man by the side of the road, going the wrong direction, but the Lord came to help us. And he provided for our care after he bound up our wounds through baptism and chrismation, because he provided the church. Now, when we read the scriptures, as I said, you should always try to put yourself in the place of the characters of the stories. Try to put yourself now, for a moment, in the place of the doctor of the law, how the Lord answered him. May it never be that you have such arrogance before the Lord as he did. But I do hope that you'll be able to understand answers that the Lord gives as the Lord gave to him. Life is not so simple. The Lord doesn't answer us with simple answers so often. Often when we ask a question, he answers in a way that we did not expect, so as to help us. But let us not, I doubt this lawyer really understood, even though he was able to give the right answer at the end, that he really understood the significance of what the Lord was telling him about his whole incarnation and how he helped mankind. I don't think he really understood, but we'd better. So when the Lord answers your questions, look into the depth of what he says. May God help you.